Okay, turn to Ezra.
What?
Ezra.
Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job.
Psalms, Proverbs.
King's
yeah. Yeah, that's right. Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, Ezra. Ezra was a pretty cool guy. And he was a ready scribe. And we're going to read verse 10.
Of which chapter?
Chapter 7, sorry.
Thank you.
It says, "For Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." So that's what he did. And in verse 6, it says, "This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given." He was a ready scribe. The word ready is also means prepared. And a scribe, if you listen to Greg Earle's teaching, was it last week or the week before?
Last week.
He went into this whole thing about scribes. And a scribe, you know, is a person that writes, basically. And there were different scribes. In the case of Ezra, he was a priest. And the scribes were the ones that copied down the scriptures. They would take a scroll and then they would, in the Jewish or the Hebrew, you know, the law of Moses, when the scrolls got old and worn, they would destroy them. They wouldn't allow them to deteriorate. So they would have to copy them. And the scribes were very, very detailed in their copying. They were very concerned about making sure that they copied them correctly. In saying that, they still made mistakes sometimes. But he was a scribe. Now, he was probably a Levite because he's a priest. And he went back to Israel to help set up the temple. But it says here that he prepared his heart. In the NIV, it says, "For Ezra devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel." And then in the Septuagint, which is the Greek Old Testament, it says, "For Esdras," that's what Ezra is in the Greek, "Esdras had determined in his heart to seek the law and to do and teach ordinances and judgments in Israel." So this prepared his heart can be translated different ways, devoted or determined. the word prepare is a Hebrew word kun, K-U-N, and can mean make ready, establish, fixed. So I want you to turn to Psalm 57. And we're going to see a few uses of this word. You know, if you go back and read the book of Ezra, the king of Babylon at that time had given permission for those who had been taken captive 70 years prior and brought to Babylon, of any of Israel that wanted to return to the land of Israel and to Jerusalem, was going to be allowed to go. A lot of them stayed back in Babylon because they had become part of the culture and they had prospered. But a lot of them wanted to go back. And so Ezra was one of the guys that helped them go back and set up the temple and things like that. And it's a pretty amazing book if you want to read it sometime. But Psalm 57 is a psalm of David. And in verse 7 it says, "Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine." Oh, wrong verse. Okay, Psalm 57:7. I'm looking at Psalm 60 for some reason. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. That's that word that was prepared in Ezra. So here, David says his heart is fixed. It means it's established and ready. So then he goes on to say, awake up my glory, awake psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. So we can see here, you know, David's relationship with God was pretty incredible. And, you know, you go back and you read about his life and some of the things he did. And if his heart wasn't established in God's word, if it wasn't fixed on God, he would have had a tough time surviving, because he went through all kinds of difficulties and problems, betrayals and all kinds of stuff. And even his own failures at times, where he had to go before God and you know, ask God's forgiveness. So he was quite a guy. Again, the Septuagint would read ready. So it would say, my heart is ready. And the NIV would say steadfast. So in verse 7, it would say, my heart is steadfast, or my heart is ready. You know, and that was one of the definitions of this word kun. Well, how does this happen? How does a person's heart get ready or fixed or established? Well, it's very simple. You have to make a decision that you want the Word of God established in your life. You want your mind to stay fixed on God. And you take time in God's Word. You discipline yourself to take time in God's Word. Let's go to Psalm 108. Psalm 108 and verse 1. It says, again, this is a psalm of David. He says, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with glory. And again, the word fixed in the Septuagint is, my heart is ready, my heart is ready. It repeats it. It says it twice. My heart is ready, my heart is ready. In the NIV, again, it says steadfast. You know, steadfast means what? It means it's unmovable, right? It's fixed on something. It's focused. It's not going to change. And then in verse 13, David went on to say, through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. You know, David didn't rely on himself. If you remember when he fought against Goliath, he didn't say, you know, he said, I didn't come here with weapons, but God will take care of you. God will defeat you. And, you know, he went up against this guy that was 9 foot tall, and he was trained from youth to be a warrior. And David was just this little shepherd, you know, just a little shepherd boy. But he had shown great courage because he protected the sheep and had killed the lion and the bear. And he killed Goliath. But why? Because he relied on God. He was steadfast on God. Let's go to Psalm 112, another psalm of David. In verse 7, speaking of a righteous man, it says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. You know, and that's a great relationship there. Your heart is fixed, trusting, you know. When your heart is fixed and established in God's word, it's you trust God. You rely on him. And evil tidings, you know, it means anything negative that comes your way. You know, in his case, a lot of times it was people trying to kill him. But, you know, anything, any evil tidings. We all the time in life have to deal with situations, with things that come up that, you know, we prefer not to, right? Life is not always the smooth highway of blithe and merriment. It's got bumps and curves and hills and valleys. And how do we deal with these things? Well, if our heart is fixed on God, we trust in him. It says his heart is established. Same word again. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see the desire, his desire upon his enemies. You know, the guys that bring that evil tidings or the things that cause it. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. What a great thing. Again, you know, that word is fixed. It's ready. It's prepared. It's sure. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. I looked at this word and I thought about it because so many times when I've been taught or looked at that word, I didn't really understand it totally. And I understood that Ezra was somebody trained to teach the word and to write it down and study it and stuff. But it meant more than that, right? It means that he was totally involved. He was focused on God. His heart was fixed to do what God wanted him to do. He was established. You know, when you're established in something, what does it mean? It means, you know, when a business is established for a long period of time, what do we usually mean? It's reliable. It's solid. It's got a good reputation. It's not going to go away. When your heart is established in God's word, you're going to stick to him. You're going to continue to trust him and do what he would desire for you to do. In Proverbs 4, verse 23, everybody knows this verse, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The heart. Remember it said Ezra prepared his heart. His heart was fixed, established. David's heart was fixed. Here it says keep or guard your heart with all diligence. And for out of it are the issues of life. And we know that the heart is the seat of, it's not just the physical heart, but it's talking here about the heart of your being, the seat of who you are. It's the center of your mind. It's where you really hold things that are important and critical in your life. And so out of it are the issues of life. It's, you know, it's where we believe. We believe from the heart. When we really believe, we believe from the heart. Conversely, if you have fear in your heart, that's a problem, right? And the way to get fear out of your heart is by being fixed on God's word and prepared in your heart and to guard it. Then it says in verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. And the word established is that word, fixed. You hold fast to that word. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. In other words, you're fixed. You see the path that God set before you. You stay right on that path. And you guard your heart. You don't let it be swayed from one thing or another. Let's go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. That's pretty interesting, huh? Mm-hmm. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Yeah, that's a pretty good description of mankind. Mm-hmm. You know, a man can be as perverse and as evil as anything, but in his own eyes, he's right. Mm-hmm. You know, the Nazis and Hitler thought they were right. They were right in their own eyes. Serial killers are right in their own eyes. Con men and thieves are right in their own eyes. There's always a reason. You know, there's always a rationalization. Because it's not based on the word. Their lives are not in the word. But the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. They'll be fixed. They'll be steady. They'll be ready. They'll be prepared. Commit thy works unto the Lord. If you're committed to do what God wants you to do, and you're focused on his word, then everything will be established. God will take care of you. We saw that Ezra prepared or readied or established his heart, and his life was to do the will of God. So you know what that made me think of? It made me think of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Because, you know, when you read that verse, what do you think about? Second Timothy chapter 2, verse what? 15. Everybody knows this verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Ezra was diligent. That's how his heart was fixed and established. In the NIV, it says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. So, you know, the word study in the King James can be misleading because we think of it as purely an academic endeavor. But it's not just an academic endeavor. The purpose of God's word is action. The purpose of God's word is to guide the way you live, to affect the way you think and act. And if it's just an academic exercise, it'll be worthless. In the Working Translation, Walter Cummins translates this verse, be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, an unashamed worker, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, it is important for us to rightly divide the word of truth. And that may take, you know, it does take some time in the Word. You know, you have to understand how the Word works, how it interprets itself, which is extremely important. Because if you don't rightly divide the Word in your understanding, then you won't rightly divide it in your practical application, right? And all I have to do is look at all the different religions and all the different sects and denominations. And why do we have all these things? Because they all disagree on something. Some, you know, many of you know the story of the Church of the Navalites, right? There was a church, and they disagreed on whether Adam and Eve had navels. So they split, and one became the Church of the Navalites, meaning they believed that they had navels or belly buttons. You know, it seems ridiculous. But, you know, that's what happened. And many other ridiculous things happen in religion. So it's not just that. So, you know, when we read about Ezra and how he prepared his heart to do the word, you know, he studied for sure. He was a scribe. But he also prepared his heart to do it and to teach it to others and to help others to understand it. How great is that? And to do it, you know, he was an example. He was an example of the word in his life. So it's not just an academic endeavor, but it's to put in practice, to learn how to live a godly life and lead others to Christ. And let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That sounds horrible. But it really should read, work out your own wholeness with respect and reverence. Respect and reverence to what?
God.
To God and His Word, right? For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You know, once you are born again, you have God's Spirit. And we learn the great principle that God's Spirit works with your spirit in you, the spirit that He gave you, right? His Spirit teaches your spirit, and your spirit teaches your mind. God is always working in you so that you will decide by your own free will to do His will. He never makes you. He never controls you. He doesn't push a button and you're a robot. He allows you. And we know from the very beginning that God gave man free will. You know, He gave Adam and Eve free will, and He gave them authority and dominion over everything. And there was only one thing they were told not to do. But they had the free will to do or not do it, right? Unfortunately, they did the wrong thing. Of all the choices they could have made, they made that one wrong choice. But they had free will. We have free will to do or not to do God's will. We have always have a choice to think God's word or not think God's word, to think, to do what He would have us to do. So it says, for God, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And then it says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. If I translated that, I would translate that without grumbling and whining. You know what it means? That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And, you know, it wouldn't really matter what nation you live in. It would be a crooked and perverse nation. It doesn't really mean, you know, nation state like we think of a nation. But, you know, it means where you live, the people you live with. They're crooked and perverse people unless they're born again and live according to God's word. And then it says, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. What a great thing. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. See, that Paul wrote that, and he just was encouraging these people in Philippi to do the word, to endeavor to do their best for God. That's what Ezra was doing when he went back to Israel. He went back prepared, and his heart was fixed to do and to teach other people to do God's word so that they would live for God. And that's really what we're here on earth to do, right? We're here to live for God and to do His word and then to help others to do the same thing. So, Father God, we thank You for this day. We thank You for blessing us. We thank You that we can prepare our hearts, that we can establish our hearts and our lives in Your word and be fixed on You and trust You in all we do. And we thank You for this in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.